Ayo. Okay.
Hey. So to recap, our husbands came up with the ideas for our stories. So the next two episodes are going to be a little bit different. We have Bella doing a story about baseball specifically. This episode, and next episode I'll be doing one about esports.
So stay tuned.
It'll be interesting. We're mixing it up a little bit. I'm excited to hear your story.
I have a long one, but before I start that, I have an update for you. If you remember, I don't remember what episode it was, but we got an email from someone talking about how there was this house where someone grew up. The email is actually from Jan. So
you guys are lame as heck.
So we had our husbands.
I love you guys, but you don't email us.
But yeah, the email, just to recap, was this house that Jan grew up by, where, what was it? Can you remind me again what happened in the house?
There was a child from the neighborhood.
Yep.
That was killed.
And then, like, several other stuff happened.
His backpack was found in the Cuban man was living in the back of this house.
Yep.
In, like, the trailer back there. And they found, the homeowner happened to go in there because she was like, I feel like there's some stuff missing. And after a while, she was like, well, maybe it's in his stuff. And she went in there and she found the backpack of the child. And that's how they found out who he was.
And then, like, weird other stuff started happening in the house after they left, where they found, horses.
While we were living there, there were some horses that were very malnourished, to the point where we all called, like, animal control, and they came in, they saved the horses. And then there was also biomedical waste dumped there.
Yeah, just weird things. But this past weekend, we went to the location of where this house was at, because I was actually really excited to see it. But the weird thing is, we went there at night, so you couldn't see much. But why is he shaking your head?
This was
trippy. I was like, no, don't say it. But we were there at night, and the property is pretty big. So it's like the house, and then, like, to the side of the house, it's just like land. Like, there's nothing there. But there was, like, I don't know, over 10 semis, like, parked there. But, like, all of them were on. And it was just weird.
That's weird.
I was like, what is happening there? Why does a house have...
Listen.
And it's in the middle of nowhere. Like, you go down a long road. Like, why would you store that? No. It was dark. You could barely see anything. And there was a fence. So you saw the semis over it because obviously it was taller. But you couldn't really see the house or, like, anything about the
house. Not to judge truck drivers, but the transient life lends itself to
things. Just don't get to, like, why would you own a house there in the middle of nowhere? Would you have to drive a pretty, like, random,
if you're trying to be away from people?
That's what I'm saying. It's weird. And why were they on? Yeah, so that's my update about that house.
That's weird.
Very strange. I did not get out of the car, but
I wouldn't recommend that.
Yeah,
what would you have done if you had gotten
I don't know
out of the car?
I feel like somebody would have been like, what's going on in there?
I wouldn't go over the fence. That's
no, I wouldn't either, but maybe some people would have. But yeah, that's my update.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Crazy story. I'm glad you made it out alive.
Yeah. Okay, so we need a coin to flip. Or maybe just use your phone? All right. I don't remember who called it last.
We don't have coins here. We're broke.
We're broke. We only have $100.
We only have
$100
bills, yeah.
You call it, Ash.
Okay. I don't know what we're calling here because it's just your story, but sure.
Oh my gosh.
I honestly thought
you know
you were
from
joking.
The beginning or were you going with it?
I thought you were joking, and then I was like, we're
oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that. No, okay, no one reacted. You didn't react. Steven didn't react either.
That's why when you said call it, I was like, okay.
That's really funny. Okay. All right, so I guess we'll just get into my story. Okay, so thanks to Steven, I found an insane story. First of all, the story I found, I wouldn't even call it an article. It was like a mini book about this online, but it's by Greg Hanlon and it's on sbnation.com. It's actually he tells it really well. Like, it's legit, it's in chapters. So he has four chapters. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But he does such a good job. So a lot of this is him.
Yeah.
I obviously was four chapters, and like each chapter was really, really long. But obviously I had to
condense.
Yeah, condense, paraphrase a lot. The way he wrote was very into detail. Like it's basically a book. So just imagine that. So I obviously had to change it up. Although I wish I would have just read the four chapters as is, because it's just really good. So if you're interested, go listen to it. No, literally. But it was so good. I was like, how do I condense this? But anyways, the story is about a famous baseball player called Mel Hall. Anybody? Steven, no. Do you know who that is? He's looking it up. Okay, you don't know who it is.
I do not.
Oh, interesting.
That's pretty good.
Just what I wanted.
All right. So he's a baseball player, obviously. This is more about his life, not exactly about the sport of baseball, obviously.
I want to know everything about baseball.
Yikes. I literally have no information on that. But yeah. So starting off, this is like an excerpt, whatever it's called, from the, I'm just going to call it book because he deserves to just be called that.
Short story, maybe.
Short story, yeah. Sure. This is how it starts. All right. June 11th, 1989, spring fever for 15-year-old Jennifer Diaz and her friends. Freshman year was winding down. It was her friend's birthday, and her father had driven Jennifer, his daughter, and a group of girls down from Connecticut to a doubleheader at Yankee Stadium. Right field line seats front row. It's a bad view of the game, but it put them on top of the field, especially close to the Yankees' 28-year-old right fielder Mel Hall. Each time he jogged out to his position between innings to warm up, the girls would ask him to toss them a ball. Hall would fake as if he would, but then he wouldn't, and then he'd smile at them. This went on inning after inning. Typical Hall, he was playful and mischievous. Is it mischievous or mischievous? I never know how to say that word, but you know what I'm talking about.
I mean, I say mischievous.
Mischievous? Mischievous? I don't know.
I mean, I think you can say it.
Tomato.
Yeah. Playful and mischievous, lacking the aloofness of most ballplayers. Somehow more accessible and fun-loving. Often when they played the Red Sox, as they were on this day, he'd wear a t-shirt underneath his jersey saying, Boston sucks.
Oh.
He freaking sucks. I love Boston.
Oh, yikes.
He toyed with
I'm
the girls.
I'm indifferent about Boston. So.
He toyed with the girls all game long. He'd say, you want the ball, but then never give
Ew.
Them one.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah, it doesn't start on off a good note. When Hall moved from right field to left field to start the second game of the doubleheader, he continued to make teasing gestures toward them. After the girls left the game early to beat the traffic, Andrea's father said they should write Hall and ask him to autograph a baseball. Two weeks went by. They were studying at the Fairfield Public Library for their freshman year final exams when they became bored and decided to write that letter to Hall. They addressed it to Yankee Stadium, stuck in the mail, went back to studying, and didn't think about it again. Until Friday afternoon, soon after, when somebody called Jennifer at home claiming to be Mel Hall. He said he had noticed a blonde, wholesomely beautiful girl in the stands that day and wanted to get to know her better. Perhaps she and her family would like to come to Yankee Stadium for the game tomorrow. He said he got lots and lots of fan mail but never opened it. The fact that he happened to open her note must mean it was destiny. It was too ridiculous. She was sure somebody was messing with her, so she hung up. Maybe it... Yeah.
Also... I don't care how big I am. If I'm getting fan mail, I'm going to open it.
He's honestly, he's saying that on purpose so that she feels special. He's opening all of them.
Absolutely.
Because he's full of himself. Maybe it was a boy she had a crush on, a huge Yankee fan who really liked Mel Hall. The two had just gone to the movies and the phone rang again. She hung up. This happened several more times, stretching over a couple of hours. It was a preposterous notion. Mel Hall, the major leaguer on the field that day from the Yankees, calling her... Yes, impossible, said her father, who was also a big Yankees fan. It couldn't be Hall because the game had already started and Hall was in the lineup that night. But the phone rang again and the person claiming to be Hall said he was the designated hitter that night so he could sneak into the clubhouse and use the phone. He said he would prove to Jennifer that he was who he said he was. When he came up to bat, he would tap home plate with his bat three times. The Diaz family gathered around the television. Jennifer's grandfather, a huge fan too, was there. And a family friend from down the street also came by. Hall strode up to the plate, charismatic as always, stylish in his 80s Jerry curl. I don't know what that means. A natural hitter in his element. But the first pitch came in. He's trying to look it up. He's like, I'm on it. But the first pitch came in and Hall did nothing. Jennifer was embarrassed. She had always been so gullible. Still, everyone kept watching, and before the next pitch, Hall tapped home plate with his bat 3 times. Then he took his bat and pointed at the television camera.
Ooh, I think I would be freaked out by that. Not like...
I know. 20 years later, Jennifer would testify in court against Mel. So that's how it started. What are your thoughts on Mel so far?
I think it's weird.
Even the way... He's a 28-year-old man, and this is a 15-year-old
girl. And I understand being like silly with people in the audience, but the what he was doing and saying was a different kind of silly, if you will.
But also to a, like, it doesn't matter what he did. The fact that it was to a 15-year-old girl and you're calling her at home, like...
Yeah, no, all of that is weird. That's not okay. All of that is weird. Yeah, absolutely.
Oof.
And I know it was a different time and different people function different ways, but if I'm her dad, like, I'm not excited. Like, I'm, like, weirded out by that.
Oh, for sure. And you'll see later in the story, like, who her parents were and what kind of people they were. But it was basically, like, a star struck, like, this is too good to be true. We can't let it, like, go. But you'll see how they get more involved in a little bit. Okay. So, basically, Mel Hall was a 28. The fact that he said that. So he was 28-year-old Yankees baseball player. He apparently had a great start and was very promising for his future. But after a couple of years, he really wasn't that, like, all that. He wasn't an amazing player. He was pretty mediocre, but he didn't act like that. He acted like he was, like, the boss and he was the man. But he, like everyone who knew him was like, this guy was not even that good. They said, like, he would like, do crazy things. I'm trying to compare him to a celebrity now, but he would do such crazy things.
Tom Cruise.
No, more like Justin Bieber Nicolas when he was young. Like, you know Justin Bieber when he was young and he was reckless?
I'm just yelling out the ones that I hate.
Oh, goodness.
Adam Sandler.
No. He was just very reckless and he would be on newspapers
Bieber,
a lot.
Like, I mean, to be
just
fair,
in that phase.
He had the talent to, like, back
it
up.
Yeah. So this guy literally had
so
that reckless attitude.
To somebody that, like, doesn't, but has that mindset. I'm trying to think of something.
I don't know. Freaking Catch Me Outside Girl. How about that? I don't know what her name is.
Did you hear what happened?
Yeah, I did hear about it. That's a crazy story.
Yeah, look it up.
But I'd say talent-wise, like, she started on Dr. Phil, so I'd compare it to her. I'm not nervous about saying that
at all. The Kardashians.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Not really.
But anyways, this guy had no talent to back him up, and he acted the way that he acted. One of the things that will make you understand him more. He once said he wanted to fight Mike Tyson and told reporters, quote, when God made my body, he made something good, end quote.
I say that all the time. Wait, but that's not bad to be confident in yourself.
But it's the way
I'm
that
kidding.
He was like,
I'm
you
kidding.
Can be confident, but like,
I'm
you're
totally
telling
kidding.
Reporters that.
No, it's gross.
So Mel grew up poor in Montezuma, New York. A tiny farm community 30 miles east of Syracuse, where the halls where the halls were one of a handful of black families. His father was a muck farmer. I don't know what a muck farmer is.
Somebody look that up.
But his father was a muck farmer who had played briefly in the Cincinnati Reds chain, and his mother worked in a factory. Perhaps he was overstating his poverty when he told reporters, quote, we were so poor we ate ice for supper. We spelled poor with one O because we ate the other ones, end quote. His beginnings were so humble, he said that after being drafted, I signed my first contract in dirt. By the time Hall made it to the Yankees, those days of deprivation were long behind him. He played at a time where even ordinary players were starting to get big. So his contracts, he made at least $6.3 million in his big league career and at least another $2 million playing 3 years in Japan. And he reveled in his money and status, obviously, by the guy that he is. By some accounts, he had 15 cars, mm-hmm. 15 cars, not 50, but still had a limo pick him up from Yankee Stadium, as he did. One person close to him at the time said he would spend his large paychecks practically as soon as he got them and that he would literally take linen bags of cash out of the bank like in the movies. In 1992, he rented an apartment in Trump Tower, then New York's most ostentatious address, where he lived. He lived down the hall from Donald Trump himself. So you kind of get a good feel of who he is.
Mm.
Oh, he owned 2 German Shepherds and hired a German trainer who taught them to attack at the command of, quote, FAS. I don't know if that means something.
It might be German.
Yeah. As if that were too ordinary a pet, he acquired 2 pet mountain lion cubs that he claimed to sleep beside.
No.
And that he once brought them into the Yankee Stadium clubhouse. Authorities confiscated the animals and fined Hall several hundred dollars, but Hall was hardly chastened. He said, quote, I'm thinking about getting myself a grizzly bear, he told reporters. I can't with this guy.
That thing will eat you in your sleep.
A lot of the people that knew him said he was very fun to be around, but it was one of those things that you didn't know when something would snap with him and then you'd see another side of him. So he had that kind of attitude.
It's like a heckle and jive type of thing. Heckle. What is it? Heckle and jive?
Who's that?
No. Jekyll and Hyde. I was like, that does not sound right.
Who is that?
Dan just nodded. He's like, yeah.
Yep, you're good. Who is that?
No, it's like split personality. It's what you're saying.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. But sure. Yeah. He'd do weird things. Like one time he had his wife and his girlfriend stay at the same hotel and watch them both argue at the pool in front of a whole bunch of people. So he just do weird things like that. He just wanted attention. Why'd you say oh?
Because you just threw in like, oh, his wife and his girlfriend.
I'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
So this is another thing. What, like, the main stories I'm going to tell is only, like, a fraction of the stuff that this guy got involved in. So it's, like, even after all that I'm about to talk about, like, there was more stuff that happened after that I literally could just not fit in. But you'll get a good grasp of what he did and what kind of stuff he did.
I want to know it all. Bye.
Oh, gosh. You want to sit here the rest of the night? Okay. He was also he was also an ass to other teammates and coaches, calling them names and thinking it was funny. So he'd make fun of the coaches like in front of other people because he thought he was like edgy and funny. He'd get into wrestling fights with people and was even reported bringing a gun to the Yankee clubhouse. Everyone who was around him said he was a sex addict. They would go out to clubs and his main goal was to get several women in his car. He'd pay DJs over $300 to play songs that he could get up close to the women and grind on them. So the funny thing is the guy that went with him, like, he was kind of like a security guard in a way, but the guy that went with him to, like, everywhere, he would just always be with him. So Mel would give him $300 and say, hey, go give this to the DJ. And he'd go to the DJ, give him $10, and then pocket the rest every time he did it.
That's amazing.
Which is kind of a boss move.
No, that's awesome.
If the DJ's going to do it for $10, hey.
I don't get the concept of, like, this song is playing, so I'm allowed to just grind up on a stranger. Like,
yep.
How is that okay?
It's not. It's
really have people not. Just allow, like, they're just like, cool. I don't know. I don't get it.
I mean, multiple women went back with him. So
this is why I didn't go to dances. My first homecoming, I was at the food table and that happened. And I'm like, I'm not even on the dance floor. This is not okay. Anyways.
So the best guess from authorities for the number of children he eventually had is 8. But we'll never know.
We don't know the real amount.
Okay, so that's a lot of backstory for Mel.
Yeah, hoes in different area codes.
Yeah. So back to Jennifer Diaz's story, which is the girl that he called. So basically after the game and the phone call, he called the family again and told Jennifer's mom that he was very lonely in New York and really just wanted a family. So Jennifer's mom felt bad for him and had him come over to the house for dinner. And by the end of the night, Mel was calling her mom. So he kind of played the, like, poor innocent me, big famous guy,
well,
but I don't have a family.
That's what predators do, though. Yeah. They get the parents. Then.
And he's a Yankee baseball player. Like, the parents are like, whoa, we get this big shot in our house.
Yeah. It's still, if I have a 15-year-old daughter, I'm like, get out of my house.
It's weird. So a lot of people weren't sure if Mel was into Jennifer at first, just because in the beginning he didn't make it obvious, especially in public. But the first day that he met Jennifer, he had told her that he was in love with her and would marry her when she turned 18. Her parents sensed that maybe there was something going on, but assumed he'd keep true to his word, which is just...
Nope.
Like,
yeah, let's believe
matter.
This guy.
Like, oh, yeah. And Jennifer was kind of just like in this weird state of, this is somebody I've always looked up to, but like... He says he wants to marry when I'm 8. Like, she was just in this awkward, like, this is going way too fast for me to even realize what's happening kind of thing. So for the rest of that week, he came over every night after the game, fantasizing to Jennifer way past midnight about their future together. Before she knew it, before anyone had asked her how she felt about it, he had moved into her family's home. Mel Hall, a Major League Baseball player, was coming home after every game and sleeping on the living room floor of a suburban family whose 15-year-old daughter he had just met and with whom he now claimed to be in love. That is literally like a couple sentences to describe this chaoticness.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
Can you imagine like to a be huge fair, baseball player just moving in?
This is like... This could be an amazing story if he was a good guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he didn't have a family.
Like an 18-year-old, like, normal
or,
dude.
Or older, but, like, genuinely not, like,
yeah.
gross.
Yeah.
Like,
and,
it
like,
could
came
be,
in as a sibling, like, not as a freaking
yeah, like,
stalker.
It could be a great story, but he just... And
he
I definitely,
literally used that, though, as a way to get
yes,
out.
And I definitely think there's red flags they should have... The parents should have caught on to, but I think they just probably were like, oh, this is such a good
oh, yeah.
story.
Yeah, they were just like, there's a baseball player in my house.
Yeah.
So that same week, he bought Jennifer a red Chevy Cavalier convertible, despite the fact that she was too young to have a driver's license. Gifts came pouring into her family as well. Tickets to every Yankees game for the whole family. Jennifer's attendance was, of course, mandatory. Just another red flag. Mm-hmm. And transportation via limo. A Corvette convertible for her father, too. One morning, bulldozers showed up at their home to start digging an in-ground pool. So this man is like pouring in the gifts.
Ingrown
so,
or in ground?
In ground, sorry.
An ingrown pool.
Ew, that sounds gross. Just grew itself. But yeah, he's just giving them money. And so this is another reason why their parents are like,
they're putting blinders on.
Yeah, it's like, we just got a new car and a pool. So yeah, that was literally the first week of him moving in and all that is happening, which is just
sometimes
overwhelming for her because then she's like, my parents are really happy. Like, what do I do? It's just awkward.
Well, and I wouldn't fault her at all for being excited or
yeah.
caught up. Like, you're young and you don't know any
yeah.
better.
And when you have, like, somebody that you've looked up to and then you start slowly realizing who they actually are, it's this, like, whoa.
You don't want
to like,
believe it.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
I know so, exactly what that's like.
Oh, yikes.
Just kidding.
Okay, so a couple weeks in, he bought Jennifer a diamond ring, and she was Ooh. Very hesitant about it, so he said that they could call it a promise ring. So, like, it was clear that this was, like, I own you kind of thing, and she was
yes,
kind
he's
of like,
putting
I'm
his
not
claim.
Ready, and so he's like, don't worry, it's just a promise ring.
What are you promising?
Yeah, it's creepy as heck. She says in court years later, it all happened so fast, but then realized that he did this on purpose to catch her off guard and not realize what was happening, which mm-hmm. is what I just said earlier of you get so, like... I don't, there's a word for that, but you know what I mean. So Jennifer's mother yeah. had a daycare that she operated out of their living room. But since Mel was sleeping there now, he basically told the family that he'd pay for their whole lives and that they didn't have to work anymore.
Yeah, it feels like, I mean, it's basically just grooming. Where
yeah.
like, he's grooming the family too.
And like, he's grooming them to like, get them comfortable, but then also to keep them all stuck in this, like, what do we do mm. now? Like, ugh.
I'm a firm believer though, in the fact that parents have to be educated and aware on the signs of grooming because their number one job is to protect
yes.
their kids against that kind of
but
stuff.
But like it, and I'll get to it, but like the parents are not oblivious. They know exactly what's happening and they're choosing to like,
that's not good.
I know. Yeah. It's really bad
because it's one thing to be naive, but I think it's your responsibility as a parent to not be naive. And
they,
I think
they
that's,
literally
that
like,
sounds harsh, but
no, I don't think so. Your parents, like you're responsible for your kid, but like,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna get ahead
I
of
know,
myself.
I know, I'm sorry.
It's okay. So because of that, the parents completely stopped working for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Jennifer says that her parents basically sold out and got comfortable. Her mom also kept the excuse that they were helping him because he didn't have a family. It's like, okay, like that's a little, but yeah. At
yeah.
some point, Mel moved into the master bedroom with Jennifer and her parents moved into Jennifer's old room. No big deal. Like what? In what world would that be okay? Why would the parents be okay with that?
Yeah, no.
It's so weird. That's so weird. But like, it was a thing where it just gradually
Steven,
things
how
started
could you
happening.
Like baseball?
How dare you? So Mel had promised Jennifer's parents that he would keep her quote unquote pure until she turned 18. But at
Which,
night.
Yeah, no, that's,
yeah. I believe that.
Yeah.
But at night he would touch her and she would feel very uncomfortable with it. She'd pretend like she was sleeping anytime he did because obviously, yeah. It did eventually lead to sex, but she told no one. Because he had promised.
Or rape?
Yep.
Question mark.
Because he had promised Jen's mom that he would keep her pure. This is so ridiculous. Jen's mom allowed Mel to go out and sleep with other women to meet his needs. What the heck? Like, marry my daughter when she's 18, but go sleep with women because you need to meet your needs as a 28-year-old man. That is so ridiculous. I cannot. Like, her parents. Yeah, no words. So she was basically letting him do whatever he wanted if that meant he would marry their daughter and pay for their lives.
We need to start filming this so people can see.
Facial reactions.
Yes, because it sounds like I'm just like nodding along like, yeah, that makes sense.
Jen had no idea this was happening. So she had no idea that her mom was like, yeah, go sleep with other women.
Well, she's probably like, so you don't sleep with my daughter, which is stupid because that doesn't, they're not mutually exclusive. It doesn't mean because he's going to do that.
Even,
that he's not,
but even then it's still messed up for you to do that. Like, because all you're literally wanting to just for him to pay for your life. Like, that's all you're wanting that for. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're okay at the expense of your daughter.
Yep.
You're okay with it.
Exactly.
I mean, try not to be judgy. We're all judgy.
Judge these people.
But I'm totally judging them.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah.
So Jennifer, obviously this with along with many of the issues she has with her family, says that she has a lot of issues because of this relationship with them and Mel. Mel throughout their relationship was very jealous and controlling, obviously. He'd pick her up from school and tell her to make a beeline to the car and not look up. He let her have some friends if he approved. So like he didn't want her to like even make eye contact with other people. Yeah. He let her have some friends if he approved, but would tell her to end other relationships if he disapproved. Jen loved going to the beach, but Mel didn't allow her to anymore. Anytime he went on a road trip, he would tell her not to go anywhere or talk to anyone or do anything except wait for his calls. So the whole building a pool in her backyard was literally so she could just go there and not go out with her friends to like the pool or the beach. To mark his possession, he gave her a diamond encrusted necklace with his jersey number and a gold bracelet with his name on it. Mm-hmm. More than once, he locked her in a closet for a few hours because he didn't approve of her clothing. His note of apology for one of these episodes was entered into the prosecution's evidence during the sentencing phase of the trial. The note said, quote, "Baby, when I ask you to change, it's because I love you. I know sometimes I am a little tough, but no one loves you better or more. Mel," end quote. That is so ridiculous. Like, yeah, there's no words for that. Mel never hit Jen, apparently, but she said she felt stuck, especially because her parents were dependent on him.
Yeah.
Literally, her parents are like whole lives.
He did exactly what he wanted.
Yeah, it literally worked out perfectly.
Even if she went to the parents, I'm not buying that they would even change anything.
No, they probably wouldn't. Like, there's no way they don't know that that's happening, too.
Oh, yeah.
You gave up your master bedroom for them to sleep in the same bed together, but he was going to keep her pure. Okay. He would tell her all the time that she was lucky to be with him because he could be with anyone he wanted. Of course he can.
Then go be with him. Bye.
Yeah. I mean, he was being with them at the same time. So when Hall decided he wanted to train for the upcoming season in Florida during the winter of 1991 to 1992, the Diazes followed and moved from Connecticut, and Jennifer switched schools. When the Yankee season started in April, their whole lives.
Uprooting your family.
Literally, because he's paying for them.
So that this pedophile can keep raping her daughter. That's good. That's good.
Yep. When the Yankee season started in April, Hall decided he wanted Jennifer to live with him in his new place in Trump Tower. She was 2 months shy of graduating from high school in Florida, but Hall told her she didn't need to graduate as long as he was providing for her. To this day, Jennifer doesn't have a high school diploma. That's so sad.
Here's the thing, though. He wants her to not be
depend
educated
on him.
And to not get a career and to not be
so
sustaining herself.
Her only
herself,
choice is to rely on him.
She's relying on him for everything.
It's crazy how this man's plan is literally just falling perfectly into place.
But it doesn't fall perfectly into place without people who should know better and are of age to have enough life experience allowing it to. And that's why I'm saying, like, you have to, you're just as culpable if you're just sitting by and just like, yep, that's
and
fine.
And being oblivious to the whole situation.
I don't care if they were just doing patty cake in the room. Like,
it's still
it's
wrong.
Not acceptable for you to allow, not, in, that wasn't an innuendo, Stephen. It's not acceptable. For you to let your daughter stay in a room with a grown man. Like, that's not okay.
That's just weird. In no world would that be like a normal, like, that's just weird to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being in that situation. Like, being a fly on the wall and like, what, like, what's happening here? Like, along the process, when did this become normal?
Did you say, does she have any siblings?
No, she's an only child.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yep. So Jennifer spent most of that year cooped up in their room. One time they went to dinner with Trump and his former wife. And when leaving, Trump asked Jen, what are you doing with this guy? Which I think is hilarious.
The best thing, like, Trump's ever asked.
Even Trump being like, dude, what are you doing? Like,
you're gross, dude.
Like, you know, it's that bad.
That's bad.
Oh, no. That's funny. But yeah. She had long suspected that Mel was cheating, but never had any proof. Then one night in the fall of 1992, she drove to a Florida hotel where she suspected he was having the affair. She saw him in the parking lot in the midst of an angry encounter with another woman. It was obvious that the two were romantically linked. So that night, everything
Why? Because they were arguing?
I don't know. So that night, everything she had bottled up exploded and she raged at him, screaming and unloading all of her emotions. She broke up with him that night. Thank God. I'm just glad that, like, she didn't let this go on, because I feel like a lot of women would, like, get stuck in that and, like, feel like this overwhelming, like, you're stuck.
Oh, yeah,
like,
definitely.
I'm so glad that even at that age, she was able to be like, no, I'm done with this now.
Yeah.
Which
I feel like she needed a reason that she felt justified it, and she found one. And sometimes you can ignore that, and sometimes you can act on it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's good that she acted on it, because before that point, there were red flags, but they were all red flags that, like, people who were supposed to provide for her and care for her. Yeah,
because she's a child.
So it was like, okay, this is obviously okay, even though I feel weird about it.
Yeah.
That is the line that she knows is like, you don't cross.
That's not okay. So. Yeah. I'm glad that she did that.
Yeah.
So good news. Eventually, Jen started attending church, went to Bible college, and met her now husband. They have 3 kids. Aww. And she's an interior design artist. So that's good.
Aww.
All right. So back to the story. A little bit of happiness and then go right back down. For most of this time,
can we stay here? Wait.
No, don't go. For most of this time, Jennifer has lived with the notion that her relationship with Hall had been a dysfunctional one, as distinguished from a sexually abusive one. Although she had the feeling deep down that something was completely wrong, it was never validated by the people closest to her, which is literally what you were saying. She didn't begin to have a full understanding of what she had experienced until 2007, when she learned that Hall had been charged with sexual abuse of a 12-year-old girl.
Wow.
2 years later, over the objections of her parents, she met with prosecutors before Hall's trial and told him everything that happened to her.
Yeah, because her parents don't want...
Literally, her parents were like, don't do it!
Garbage to be dragged.
Even after hearing that he was sexually abusing another 12-year-old girl.
Going against them.
Yeah. Jennifer mailed them, the prosecutors, her stash of mementos, her proof, which she held on to, which is kind of smart.
Yeah.
She said, quote, that's when I realized this was abuse, and that was just the most sobering time. They, the prosecutors, looked me in the eye and said, this is what this is. So, like, finally she got validated for, like, this isn't okay what happened to you. And, like, not even your parents could have done that.
They're telling you not to speak up.
Literally. It's like, this was, like, years after, too, where her parents are now at the place where it's like, hey, if you really messed up then, like, you have no connection to this man now. So it's like, you're still not going to back her up. Like, oh, that's just so messed up. But, yeah.
No, it's just them not wanting to look bad.
Yeah.
Because they look bad. Which they still freaking do. Because they made bad choices. So.
Yeah. So to summarize what happened to Mel professionally after this, he got benched, then his contract ended and no one wanted him. He played in Japan for a little bit, came back, played for the White Sox minor league, and then got released again. So his professional career is kind of done. So 1998, almost 10 years after Jennifer Diaz's story, Mel, after not really having a career for some time, really got into youth sports. And because he was a former athlete, parents gravitated towards him, wanting his help with their kids.
This is what we've talked about before of, like, being an athlete does not
so ridiculous.
Negate all of the bad things you do. And, like, you shouldn't be allowed to get away with certain things because, oh, you're good at throwing a ball. Like, I don't know.
And at this point, like, Jennifer didn't really come out with her story until after all what I'm about to say happened. So at this point, no one knew about his whole thing with Jennifer. I mean... like coaches and stuff would see him with her, but they didn't know the extent of the story. Like they didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
And so he was literally just doing his thing.
But there are people that I think there's an awareness about them being not, them crossing certain lines. And the fact that that's kind of just like people turn a blind eye to it because mm-hmm. they're good at sports and they make the team.
He wasn't even good though.
No, I know. I just think it's a bigger issue of,
he was a celebrity.
I think that is absolutely something that should be vetted and there should be a certain standard. I say what you will about whether or not yeah. they're role models, whatever. They have a hand in every part. And you bringing up youth sports is such a good example of like, there's so many people looking at them that you have, it's your responsibility. You're making enough money to be able to find someone else who can.
Yeah. I don't like, especially with big stars like that, like they wouldn't background check them. Like, you don't know what you're putting this person as like a coach in youth sports with young girls. Like, oh, it's so ridiculous. But yeah, he got into that very easily and everyone loved him. So through this, he met Courtney Miller's dad, who got really close to Mel and asked for his help in coaching their younger son and Courtney, who was 12, in basketball, since Mel had played in high school, apparently. So he was a baseball player, but he played basketball in high school. But regardless, he's just like, you're a celebrity, help my kids. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is where I kind of have to shorten the story, but I'm not going to go into details, but also because I don't want to. But basically, Mel again got so close to the family, made mm-hmm. the same excuse, said that he needed a place to stay. He said that he needed a place to stay until his house was constructed, so he made himself comfortable in the Miller home. Throughout the next couple of months, he would molest Courtney several times. Mm. He also met Katie Bentley, who was 14 and another player on the same team as Courtney. He would also eventually molest and rape Katie. This went on for almost a year with the both of them. Eventually, Mel just maybe got bored, and then they all made their separate ways. The girls never told authorities or their parents until 8 years later in 2007. Katie found Courtney on Facebook, and Courtney knew exactly why she was reaching out. So just like got bored and then left and then probably did more stuff after that. But the girls were the one who kind of came out for the first time, like mm-hmm. anybody. When police looked into all the girls on the team, they found out of many others that he did the exact same thing to. Multiple yeah. girls' homes that he stayed at. One of the girls' moms, Vera Bonnet, knew Mel was up to something, and when her daughter told her he made an advance at her, she started trying to find proof to report it. She went a year without anything to prove, but then Mel started making frequent phone calls to her daughter, so she felt she finally had something to go off of. Vera's actions apparently had an impact. By all accounts, Hall never coached youth basketball again. Whether he was formally like removed or banned is an open question. Prosecutors tried to subpoena AAU records, but couldn't pull up anything from that time period. And AAU President Henry Forrest said he had no records on file for Hall. Forrest also said that AAU did not perform formal background checks on the organization's 80,000 volunteer coaches until 3 years ago, which is what we were talking about. How do you not, like, with any kind of minor, like, that's so not scary. Okay. That's so scary. And not even counting, like, Mel obviously was one of them, but can you imagine how many others might have done the same thing and people just don't know about?
There should be serious repercussions for yes. people who don't do that.
It's crazy. The action only came when former AAU president and CEO Robert Dodd was himself accused of molestation. So the CEO of this organization was literally accused of the same thing. And they were like, probably why yeah, they, we should probably start background checks.
Well, that's probably why they didn't, because he was like, no.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. The likely result of Vera's actions was that Hall simply felt the heat and moved on, as he does. This is the second time where he would have done that. In 2004, 2 years after he stopped basketball coaching, he moved on to girls softball. At this time, he met Lori, a divorced mother of two, and they started dating. She said he was very confident and dominant. To her, this was casual dating, and she knew she didn't want to marry someone like that, but for the time, it was fun. He'd brag about how rich and famous he was, but then Lori would notice he would sleep on people's couches and lose his phone a lot, which she'd lend him hers all the time and buy him phones. So no. At this point, he's kind of, because he was spending all his money, he could have kept all that money and been smart with it and been fine his whole life. But right. he spent that like crazy.
To groom people.
And then now he's at the point where he's sleeping on people's couches because he can't afford rent.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. Lori realized one day that Mel was talking to someone on her phone very frequently.
He's using her phone.
Idiot. Talking on the phone with someone very frequently and figured it was another girl. The way he talked to her also made it very obvious that this was a teenager. She eventually realized he was very off and broke up with him. So she was
But report that.
Yep. Apparently what he was saying on the phone, I forgot to put in because there's just so many details, but apparently he said something on the phone like, oh, I couldn't bail you out because of your father. And so she was like, what's happening? But yeah, it seemed like she was young, whoever he was talking to. For months after the breakup, Lori would receive his mail at her house with letters from women he had slept with that were now requesting child support, which I don't know how they got her address, but maybe he gave them to her.
Probably.
How dumb he is. She was also glad that she never allowed him to move in and was never alone with her two teenage kids, because that would have been bad. The teenage girl Mel was talking to on the phone was Sarah Walsh. She was 17 at the time and on the softball team that Mel was coaching. The two apparently had a consensual, secretly relationship.
It's not consensual if she's underage.
Yes, I agree. But apparently she was like,
it's,
yeah.
It yeah. doesn't matter. It's not consensual.
They had that relationship until the following spring. While Sarah played on Hall's softball team, the team's administrator, Dan Adkins, offered his daughter to play on the team. I guess they were short and they didn't have enough players. Mm-hmm. So Adkins was like, hey, my daughter can play, whatever. So his daughter happened to wear the same jersey number as Sarah did, which meant that their equipment bags looked exactly the same. Adkins went to get some equipment from what he thought was his daughter's bag, but it was really Sarah's bag.
Ooh.
And inside, Adkins found a card from Hall to Sarah with a pre-printed poem. It was part love letter, part apology. And it said, quote, "That's why I'm hoping you'll help me peel away the parts that aren't right, because underneath that is the greatest love I've ever known. We're worth it. I believe that with all my heart." The card was signed, "Love you, Mel."
He probably gave that to everyone.
It's like that already mass printed. Prior to this moment, Adkins and Hall had been good friends. Adkins had even loaned the dad Adkins, not yeah. his daughter. Adkins had even loaned Hall money on many occasions. Sure, he found Hall's obsession with Hooters a bit off, but it was typical enough jock stuff. Hall had even once asked to move into his home temporarily, but Adkins turned him down. He literally had the same like plan with his daughter. Now Adkins saw everything differently, and a portrait of Hall as a predator snapped into clarity in his mind.
Yeah.
That night, Adkins fired Hall from the Texas Glory and told him he didn't want to hear about him coaching girls ever again. According to Adkins, Hall responded by saying, quote, "I'm a famous guy. I have a lot of resources. Don't put your family at risk by saying things about me," end quote. No one cares about you, dude, anymore. Like, you're not making any money.
Yeah, I would call that bluff in a heartbeat. Go for it.
Yeah. Adkins made copies of Hall's card to Sarah and presented one to Sarah's father. The father's response, according to Adkins, was to tear up the paper and say, quote, "Dan, I refuse to put my family through this," end quote. Again, just another like,
this is the thing. It's happening to your family, whether you acknowledge it or not.
But they don't want to put it out there because it's like, oh, people will know about this. Like,
okay.
Ugh.
People knowing about it is not as bad as it happening and you doing nothing. And then he's
apparently
able
to them,
to do
no.
that to more people. I don't understand the logic.
I don't
like,
either.
That like hush hush. We have to keep up with the Joneses and keep up with
literally.
Appearances. Just so that we can hide all the things that are actually happening. That's harming everyone that you say you care about.
It's, yeah.
It drives me insane.
I get it. Yep. So now we're going forward to when Courtney and Katie told police about Mel.
Mm-hmm.
So in court, there were compelling evidence that Hall had either abused or had improper relationships with 7 underage girls.
Which is abusive.
Yeah. Spanning nearly 2 decades. And like I said, like these stories are not even like a little bit of
right.
all the stuff he did. The sheer volume of his crimes likely contributed to Hall's getting the maximum allowable sentence, 45 years with no possibility of parole until he serves half his sentence. He was sentenced on June 17, 2009, which means he'll be released in November of 2031.
No.
At the earliest, he'll be 71.
Nope.
An interview was done while he was in prison, and he says, quote, "I've always gone to the beat of my own drum, basically, and that probably did not help me. Maybe things would have been different if I was a straight-laced blue collar. Who knows," he said.
And there's a lot of him talking about himself in that and not the harm he's done to other people, which shows me he's learned nothing.
No. Okay. He also said, I know I'm innocent and I don't believe I was proven guilty of the charge. I believe I was proven guilty of my lifestyle.
Keep it going. You're just proving my point.
He also said, I'm playing for one of the biggest organizations in the world. There's no way they're going to allow improprieties like that. He literally said, like, I'm playing for the Yankees. There's no way they would allow a predator on that.
I hate, listen, sports is probably the worst offender when it comes to just turning a blind eye. Other than Hollywood.
But I love how that's what he used to be like, I'm innocent. There's no way they would let somebody like that in.
I play baseball. They're not going to let that happen. No.
Like, what the heck? So after his imprisonment, a website and several blogs went up defending Mel. Defaming Katie and Courtney, saying they were trained for several years by prosecution to act in court, which is why they took so long to report it. Katie got engaged in 2013 and received an anonymous letter that said, quote, so you're engaged. How wonderful for you. I wonder if your fiance knows everything about you. I wonder if he knows all that you're capable of. I wonder if he knows how you conspired to send an innocent man to prison for many years, destroying his life, hurting his children and his family. I wonder how he would respond to hearing you lie under oath, taunt his daughters, and dance around like a teenager outside the courtroom, end quote. Like, can you imagine getting a letter like that in the mail? I'd literally be like, are you kidding me right now?
I would just, I mean, it's very obvious he's just grasping for, I'm going to try to scare you out of this.
I don't think that was him. I'll get to it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. After 4 years of being in prison, Mel married a woman named Elizabeth. She claimed to have dated Mel in high school, had a baby with him, but put her up for adoption. Just 2 years into him being in prison, she said she felt something tell her, check on Mel, he's in trouble. She looked into it and obviously...
He's causing trouble. Yep. Sure.
She looked into it and obviously started writing to Mel. The two fell in love and got married. She defends Mel completely and says that everyone who testified against him were liars. There are also assumptions that she was the one behind the blog post, the letter, and even visited some of the victims, including Katie and Courtney. So Courtney apparently said that a random lady showed up to her house one day, knocked on the door, and was like, hey, is everything that you said in court real? And was like interrogating her. And Courtney was like, who are you? And then she just like ran away. So everyone's saying that it's Elizabeth. But yeah, that's the end of my story. So yeah, he's married now with crazy Elizabeth.
Pages?
Yep.
That flew by. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, that's sometimes good. That means like, you were like into it.
Yeah. Sometimes you can feel it. Like when I was doing Black Dahlia, I was like, oh, we got to wrap this up.
I'm telling you though, like it is worth the read to go to the article and read it because he does such a great way of telling it.
I had
to like really, really pick at like some things.
I don't know. But yeah, it's a story of my takeaway home. Is other than.
I think we all have a shared opinion on this.
I do think though, like, I don't like this women like dating a guy like that and then going after the women that are accusing him instead of seeing that as a red flag and walking away. It's just,
but we've seen time and time again of crazy people who get put in prison and then these women like, oh my gosh, gravitate towards them.
Ted Bundy, Charles Manson, yeah,
all of them. You see crazy women like this all the time, and then they get married and he's like, they did nothing wrong.
Well, and there's some people that like those men and they know they did those things, but they're like attracted to that.
Yeah, it's like a weird.
And they have no regard for like the victims or what happened. They just don't.
They
care.
Dismiss them. Yeah, like they literally don't care.
But Charles Manson like had his followers or whatever, and they actually acted out all those things that he wanted them to do. But
so weird. But yeah. It's crazy that a human being like that can get away. Like, he literally went from doing it as a famous baseball player to a basketball team to a softball team. And that's not even, like, all of it. Like, it's crazy how much he was able to get away with it.
I stand by the fact, you can agree or disagree, but he would have gotten nowhere if parents were doing their job.
If the first one, if Jennifer's parents didn't do it.
They were
like,
doing background checks. So many other people had to turn a blind eye for him to get that far with what he was doing. And so... Yes, he got away with so much.
But
whatever,
can you imagine how much that does to his ego? Like, I can get away with this. Like,
no, but it's like, oh,
he literally feels like he can literally do anything.
Yeah,
which is because what you did. Like,
yeah, he was getting away with it.
Yeah.
And that's
so
why
disappointing.
It's important to put a stop to it because
yeah. Well, even imagine like Adkins said no to him moving in. He just saved his daughter a whole lifetime of trauma. Like,
oh, yeah.
She's not having to go through all of that. Yeah. Like, if, ugh, yeah, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that's a crazy story.
That's where baseball got me.
Jeez.
It makes
where
me a little
in
happy
Florida
though, that
did
he had no.
He's probably coming back to Florida when he gets out.
Probably. I would
we
not
can do that
it.
Thing. There's a case where the convicted rapist and murderer tried to come to Florida and they literally rioted and refused to have him.
Oh
and
my
so
gosh.
Now he lives on like prison grounds, like in a house because no one everywhere he tried to go, they would not allow him to come.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I did not know about that.
They released him, but like,
but
nobody
he has no other
him.
Options. Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
And so, yeah, if Mel, if you try to come to Florida,
he'll be
we're not
71,
having it.
Apparently, when he gets,
I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 90. You're not coming here. So, sorry, that was my refrigerator.
Well, that's all I got.
Crazy story.
All right, Steve. Did it amount to everything that you requested from a baseball story?
Yes, that and then some. I knew there were some weird baseball players out there, but this dude was weird, weird.
Yeah, it's crazy yeah. that it was that lengthy for one person. But I can't even imagine how many... Oh, also, when I was doing the research for this, there were tons of baseball players that had the same story. He was just, like, number one on the list.
Oh, I forgot to say the thing that... So, Crime and Sports, there's a podcast, and the thing that they say is a trend, which did not apply to this guy, I don't think. But it's always juniors that have, like, the biggest... crime
Whoa.
Involvement if
talking
there's
about in college
in sports
no she's saying people with the name
in
like
sports
John Jr.
Oh
if you are
oh,
if you are a
like
junior
that's weird
if not a junior sports player if you are a junior
John
your
Jr.
name
never go into sports oh yeah you're not a junior
that
you're a
see you're a third that's different but yeah if you're well okay no their theory is if you're named after
oh,
if it's
no.
if it's in line you are going to touch someone inappropriately, steal something, do something crazy. And they're really...
Wow.
That's crazy.
But it's true. They've
well,
talked
Mel
about...
Mel Hall was not a junior.
Yeah, their stats
well, maybe.
On that.
I actually did not look into that.
Maybe
but like
he
anything
is.
I ever saw, there was never a junior.
Well, yeah, sometimes they don't have
yeah,
junior.
They
just have like...
Yeah, I don't see that he's a junior, but maybe. Maybe Jan can check on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
sometimes they're just named after the person.
Yeah.
What did you get for us?
Yeah, you know, there was a couple of searches that I made, and I know that we were trying to figure out what a Jerry curl is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's a very popular 80s, 90s perm.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. I was
just
thinking
picture
it was
like
clothing.
Yeah.
Picture like Lionel Richie, like prime Lionel Richie.
Okay.
And that's what you're looking at.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Got
yeah.
It.
It was kind of pioneered by Jerry Redding. He was a hairstylist. So.
Oh,
makes
cool.
Sense, the name.
Yeah. So there was that, and then I also had to look up what a muck farmer is. Never
oh,
even
yeah,
heard
yeah,
of
yeah.
that at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, his dad was a muck farmer.
His dad was a muck farmer.
Ew.
And so a muck farmer is...
I wasn't saying ew to that, sorry.
What?
I was saying ew because Jan texted, I think because he's far away from the mics, but father's name was not disclosed.
Because, oh. Well, he was a famous player. We have to find him somewhere.
Well,
he played for Cincinnati something?
I don't know, but maybe the reason that he's not disclosing his name is because muck farming is kind of controversial.
Oh.
Just
oh.
due to like the impacts on the environment. It's
what?
Apparently
what?
It involves drainage of wetlands that destroys wildlife habitats.
Oh.
And results in a variety of environmental problems.
Oh, shoot.
I highly doubt that's why he's not disclosing his name. Maybe there's other things. But
maybe his son being a rapist and a pedophile?
Could be that.
Yeah.
I would probably gravitate towards that rather than, you know, crappy vegetables and bad environment.
But we have to find his name somewhere because he was also a famous player.
Huh.
Oh, I think we got something here. He's a junior.
Melvin
no,
Hall Jr.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
I'm sorry. I guarantee you Carmen Sports has covered this guy.
Oh,
and
yeah, I'm sure.
They cover so many
no,
people.
No, I'm telling you, he was like number one on the list. So like, this is a pretty popular.
They're right,
yeah,
guys.
I'm pretty surprised I hadn't heard of it.
Please go listen to that podcast.
That's
they,
crazy.
I had no idea of this guy either. The fact that lined up.
That's crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, watch out for those juniors. That's all I got.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. What should people do, Ashley?
Email us at crime and sports.
Promoting the wrong show here.
Oh my gosh, I totally did. Email us at shotofcrime@gmail. Oh, not no. Oh
my god. Yes, and tune in next week.
Okay.
Nice.
No, I didn't say it right. Email us at shotofcrime@gmail.com. Please, we want to hear your stories. Yes. Okay.
Send an email there. And then tune in next week for Ashley's story.
Yes.
Per the request of Jan surrounding esports.
Esports.
Ooh, yeah. I might be good.
It might be one story. It might be two.
True.
We'll see what happens. I
wonder if there's any juniors in esports.
Oh my gosh. All right. See you guys next week.